average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You can't admit when you are just making stuff up to fit your stupid narrative. Is so dense and looking.
No, I'm not. You're dense.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's JP Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco on the line from South Florida. And very soon, well, relatively soon, 20 minutes or so from now, Tony Boselli will join us on the phone from London. He spent an extra day there. Jags win it 44-7 over the Baltimore Ravens. Complete domination from the opening kickoff to the final gun. The Jags get it done. They're 2-1, tied for first in the division. Pete, what's up? Are you with us?
I'm here. I'm here. What's Boselli playing big shot today or something?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the pride of the Jaguars, you know. You might have heard about that. So he gets an extra day in London.
Well, he, you know, everybody wants to get a piece of Tony. That's what, at least what he'll tell you, right? I mean, they're all... I mean, he's Tony Boselli.
he is, and you're not. Yeah, that's kind of how it rolls. So plenty to get to tonight, Pete. The Jaguar. We'll get to Blake Bortles' day. Unbelievable day for the Jaguars quarterback, of course. The Jags defense is among the best in the NFL through 3 weeks, and they continued that trend yesterday. And even special teams played a role in the game. We'll get to some calls coming up in the second hour. But, Pete, we got to start with the biggest story around the league today. All the anthem demonstrations, protests yesterday, and it started yesterday morning in London when the first game of the day with the Jaguars and the Ravens. And I don't know if you read today a Monday Morning Quarterback article about the lead-up to Shad Khan's arrival at Wembley yesterday and how the team met together with the captains and the head coach and the football operations folks to get something together, and they had this team, they wanted to do something together, and I thought that was a pretty interesting article. I don't know if you got a chance to see that yet, Pete.
Yeah, I did, and I thought it was good what they did, and I said this yesterday. The best thing about what happened on Sunday is how united the NFL was, and, you know, they came together as a group, and that's one of the great things about sport. It's one of the great things about the NFL is, you know, people come from different backgrounds, and they somehow come together to play a game, and now they came together on Sunday to obviously take issue with what President Trump said. And I thought it was actually very good to see. And the owners and Shad Khan was right there with his players and a lot of the front office people and everybody else. I thought it was really good for the NFL on Sunday.
There is anger, though, in some parts of fan bases around the league on this thing, and that's just kind of how it's going to be when something like this happens, Pete.
Well, and you know, some people will look at it as disrespecting the flag, disrespecting soldiers. Look, that's, you know, some people, and they have the right to believe that. You know, it's also, you have a right, and those soldiers fight for the right for us to be able to have these kind of protests. And you know, that's part of the Constitution, to be able to sit there and make your voice heard. So there's two ways to look at it. Would I have knelt? No, I would not. But I also wasn't, you know, I wasn't one of those guys that thought that anybody who did kneel was, you know, in that much of the wrong. That's their right. That's their prerogative to be able to do that. And so from that standpoint, I had no issue with it. I thought yesterday was very good in terms of what the NFL did and how they handled it.
Yeah, some different thoughts from around the league, too. We'll get around the league a little bit later tonight, Pete. But just moments ago, I think Alejandro Villanueva with the Steelers, he was the only Steeler out on the field, you know, former Army Ranger, was in Afghanistan and all that. Well, he's kind of backing off of it a bit. He said he was embarrassed to be stuck. He got kind of stuck on the field, and he couldn't walk off during the anthem because he was going to go back and be with his team. So some differing things the last couple of days. It's been a different 24 hours, I guess, since the games yesterday with all that going on. And it's taken away from the actual football a little bit, but it's the big story around in the country right now.
It is the big story, and you know, look, the president did that by his comments. That's exactly what happened, and the players responded to it, and I thought the best thing, again, it wasn't an isolated players. It was guys bonding together and taking up for their teammates. And that's one of the best things about what happened. I'm a big believer in you have a right to, the Constitution says you have a right to protest. Everybody wants to be patriotic, and we all thank the military. I have nothing but the utmost respect for military. I have nothing but the utmost respect for the police department. And, I say this all the time. There might be some bad policemen, but there's a lot of bad people in other jobs, too. And it doesn't mean that every – I know a lot of police officers in Jacksonville, and I respect every one of them that I've met. And, maybe there's a bad officer in Jacksonville. I haven't encountered him, but I'm sure that happens. But it doesn't mean the whole group is bad. So, this is – the bottom line is – we fought for this Constitution. That's why they still fight for it. And the Constitution allows you to be able to protest if you want to, and that's what they did.
Jaguars Monday. Pete Prisco with us down in South Florida. Tony Boselli coming up. The Jags have been gone for a while, by the way. So two more road games, and then they're back October 15th to face the Rams. So this is the middle of a long stretch away from Everbank Field for this football team. So Jets this week, Steelers next week. And as we get into football now, Pete, it's a 2-1 football team going into a Jets team that did win, a Steelers team that's going to be pretty good. And you're coming back to face the Rams in your second true game here at Everbank Field this year. This is a setup now. I mean, this was a big swing game yesterday in London.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, they go to 1-2 and then go out on the road for a couple games, and you're not feeling very good about yourself. But you go over there and do what you did, they come back and they got to be feeling really good about what happened. I mean, that was a dominant performance against a team that hadn't lost a game. And granted, they hadn't beaten anybody that was very good. They hadn't played very many good offenses. You know, the Browns aren't very good, and the Bengals, they played better against Green Bay on Sunday, but they aren't very good either. But to go over there and do what they did to them, and I mean, they beat them up physically, and then they were able to score when they got chances to score. So I think that sends a different message about this team. You know, had they lost that game, it would have been a bad thing because they've been 1-2 and everybody would have been saying, here they go again. Now they're 2-1 and they're coming back. And you know what the talk is? This might be one of the dominant defenses in the National Football League. I mean, that it has that type of potential.
It's incredible to think about. I mean, in the last couple of years, they haven't been able to get a takeaway on defense, and they've struggled to get to the quarterback at times. Now they've got it all going right now. Everything.
Isn't it funny, JP, what happens when you add some really good football players to a team?
It's amazing, right?
I mean,
right?
Think about it. A.J. Boye had an interception on Sunday. A great play, by the way. Calais Campbell is a beast on that defensive line. Dante Fowler is growing up playing pass rusher. And then Miles Jack is healthy and starting. He's fast as hell. He can get to the football. Jalen Ramsey is now in his second year. You add Church, who's been very good for him at safety, and all of a sudden you look and you go, boy, there's a lot of toys to play with on that defense, and they're fast. So, yeah, I think that defense has a chance to be really special. Now, they didn't kill the quarterback yesterday. They only got him down twice.
Yeah.
But they influenced the quarterback. And when you have corners like they do, and let's not forget about Colvin, the nickel corner, too, but when you have corners like they do, you can do a lot of different things up front. And that really helps them. So it has a chance to be a special defense. We thought that would be.
Sure.
And I still think the second half on Sunday was a little bit of – last Sunday was a little bit of an aberration. They kind of – I don't want to say quit, but they kind of let up after it was 6-3 at the half.
Well, you said they quit last week, Pete. Hold on.
Yeah,
you're
they
backing
quit.
Off the quit?
Yeah, they quit. But understandably, because they were frustrated, obviously, with what – I mean, is it quit? Quit means you go to the sideline. They didn't play as hard in the second half after it got out of control. Let's say that.
Well, the different part about just the different feel around this football team now is that after a game like last week, in the past, it would have affected a team around here for the next few weeks. They wouldn't have been able to bounce back and put it away and just move on to the next week. And I think that's exactly what they did this week. They just said, forget about last week. It's over now. Let's look forward to this game in London against Baltimore. And that's a veteran football team mentality, week to week.
I was surprised, to be honest with you. I thought the way they came out, they were the team that was ready to play. Now, we don't know if, Baltimore going there for the first time, being in this situation, and Jacksonville having been there, they won for the third time in London.
They
looked
sluggish, Pete. They did. The Ravens did.
They did.
I will say that.
they look slow, sluggish, and out of sync. And Jacksonville look fast and ready to play. And so from that standpoint, you got to give Jacksonville credit. You got to give the coaching staff credit. They got them ready to play. You know, you got to be careful this week. And we'll get more into the game this week. But it's one of those games where in the past we've seen these young teams, young Jaguar teams, come off a win that was impressive. Or even like last year against Green Bay, they played good in the, against the Packers in week one, and then they went and got ambushed at San Diego. Got to be careful not to have that letdown. This Jets team, the fact that the Jets won on Sunday will help that, I think, will help keep them focused. If the Jets had gotten beat up by Miami, then you might have seen Jacksonville go in there a little overconfident. The fact that the Jets lost might actually help the Jaguars this week coming up.
How did they win that game, by the way, the Jets?
Miami was awful. The Jets defense played very good, but Miami was awful.
Right.
You know, Miami, I think what happened in Miami was one of those situations where they got caught up in all what happened with them getting displaced for a week and then winning a game and coming home, and then you got to go to the Jets and travel back-to-back weeks after not being home for 10 days, and now you got to go to – they go to London this week. So
that's right.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of all that.
It's a lot early in a season for a football team to deal with, no doubt about that. Plenty to get to tonight, Pete. It might be you and I for a little bit. And
I see you now, by the way. After finally,
I haven't seen you yet on the
you're wearing a black. You're wearing a black shirt, and you look like J.P. Shadrick tonight.
Oh, now there you are. I see you on the screen on Jaguars.com. Now you just
there. I
up.
Am.
So hey,
yeah.
Hey, Pete. Hey, here we go. It's you and I for a little bit. It seems like tonight we'll get Tony Boselli.
Boselli's probably at dinner eating a big giant fat steak in London.
That does not shock me at all. It is what is over there. 11:15. That's a late night steak.
Yeah, he probably ate it already. He's hanging around, shaking hands, being Tony. You know how that is. I'm telling you, that's what he's doing right now.
Dessert.
He's too big for us. He's too big for us tonight, JP. He's too big. Too big.
He's the pride now. He's the Hall of Fame finalist, Pete. That's what he does. He
gets... And hopefully next year he'll be a Hall of Famer. Can you imagine how big that head will get then?
Oh, no, I cannot. Can you imagine the bill in London then next year? Hey, let's come back and we'll try to get Tony. We've got plenty to get to. We'll get into Blake Bortles Day. His second best rating day of his career, Pete. Can you believe it?
Well, you know they threw one first down once in a while. Did you know that?
Incredible to see. Mercedes Lewis had a day, too. Upcoming schedule, Daly's Place, Harry Potter, and the Sorcerer's Stone with the Jacksonville Symphony. That's October 14th. Santana, Tuesday, October 24th. Kings of Leon the next night, October 25th. For tickets, call 633-2000 or visit dailysplace.com. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
You know, there's a bit of a stigma, you know, around Jacksonville, kind of the here we go again type thinking. And, you know, I think this group's different. I think the guys handled it differently. I thought the locker room handled it differently. I thought Doug was different about it. And never once it felt like that going into this week. It didn't kind of have that feel or that vibe to it. It was a totally different thing. And it was kind of more of, you know, let's go back, let's get on track, and let's get back to playing, you know, the kind of football we know how to.
There's quarterback. Everybody loves Blake Bortles today after the Jags hammer the Ravens in London 44-7. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco. We'll get to Tony Boselli coming up shortly. Hey, when are you going to be in London, Pete, by the way?
When?
Yeah, when are you going to come to a game?
I've never been to Europe, ever.
You need to come for a game. They're playing through 2020 there, a game a year. In London.
Well, hopefully I'm still gainfully employed by CBS through 2020 and I don't have a chance to go. No, it would be fun to go one time.
It should be part of your coverage one week. It should, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe I'll see if I can finagle that one week. But you know me, JP, I hate being on a plane for long periods of time, so that would kind of irritate me.
That's a long time. I mean, it's what, 7.5 getting over there and about 8.5, 9?
I am an antsy flyer, so... When I have to go to the West Coast, I get antsy, so I can't imagine what it's like to go over there. But, yeah, that would be fun to do. I mean, that look, they seem to really enjoy that. I remember they used to go for the whole week, remember, back in the day?
The first two years, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was a little long. It got long.
Yeah, now they seem to have worked it out. What, they get over there on Thursday night, they get a walkthrough on Friday, kind of a walkthrough practice on Friday, and then, what, a walkthrough on Saturday or something?
Yeah,
then...
so it's leave Thursday at, we left at, what, 5, 5.30, the plane left, and then we got to Heathrow at, like, 6 in the morning we landed, touchdown, and then the team's at the hotel by 7.30, And then they did like a 1 o'clock walk through glorified practice at a rugby stadium there, Allianz Park, which they've done every year now. And then the walk through at Wembley on Saturday, and they're staying right by the stadium, so it's easy to get over there and back. And then the game's Sunday, and we go straight to the airport from the game and check in and get on the flight, and we're off the ground in, what, 2 hours, 2.5, 3 hours after the game, I guess. So.
Well, that's good that they don't stay over the night after the game, because that's how guys get broken faces sometimes in the pub.
Or announcers, one of the two.
They probably sound like they got the schedule worked out. Yeah. I saw you guys. You were part of that corny Abbey Road thing that John Osher did, weren't you?
I was not. No, I was not.
Did you see it?
I did see it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So John's trying to claim that he's a Beatle now, huh? Okay, Osh.
Which one is the far right? Was that George Harrison who's on the far right in the photo?
Yeah, I Joe forget, but he was the third one, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was the first one, and then Max Hockman had no shoes on, so he was Paul McCartney, and Max is dead. So I don't know what happened to that.
Max is dead. Jeez, you're giving me news today. I thought Max just set me up here to get on the show. What are you talking about?
Isn't that what they said about the barefoot thing? I don't know. It's a whole Beatles thing. Yeah, well before my time, Pete.
Yeah. So that must have been cool for those guys. Yeah, look, Jacksonville clearly has an advantage when they go over there because they know how to handle themselves over some of the other teams. That's obvious now. And that's good. So it kind of becomes like a home field advantage for them. But to me, the biggest difference yesterday was they did some things on offense.
Yeah.
It wasn't restrictive. It wasn't – remember last week when I went on my rant about 6-3 and how they got an extra – they thought they got a half a victory for coming in at halftime for 6-3?
I held the helmet up in victory, absolutely.
And it made – and the best thing about that is it infuriated Bocelli, so it
certainly
worked.
Did, yes.
Yeah. They didn't do that Sunday. And to me, that had a lot to do with it. I thought they were a little more creative with what they did. They did a nice job of – taking some, you know, what, the second play of the game was a shot down the field. Wasn't it to Marquise Lee on the sideline? Their second offense, wasn't that the second offensive play?
It was pretty early, yeah, it was. 35 yards, second play, it was second down and 8. Mm-hmm.
And that's something we said all last week is you got to stretch them. You got to back them off a little bit. And they did. They did a nice job of backing them off, and that helped open up the run game. And, you know, they mixed it up. There were some first down throws. There were some, you know, the screen pass was a nice call. I thought Blake did a really good job of deciding where he was going with the football and making the throw. He was more decisive than he's been. When he was rolling out of the pocket, he kept his head up and made the throw. I thought all in all, the throw to Allen Hurns in the end zone was a bullet.
And, it was a great route, really, too, by the way.
Yeah, he got Weddle. He got Eric Weddle. And he, you know, but it was a bullet. He had the linebacker Mosley coming over. So I think all in all, I like what I saw from the offense, and the offensive line did a nice job. You know, they really did a nice job, and they're not a great pass rushing team. You know, the Ravens, but they did a nice job on them.
The 35-yard pass and catch to Marquise Lee is the longest play of the year for this offense. You believe that?
Yeah, I do believe that.
I mean, so far, I do. Yeah, sure.
And they took a couple other shots. They didn't hit him, but at least they took him, you know?
Right.
They took a couple down to Marquise, and he got the pass interference penalty on the one play. I think it was a little bit more creative than it's been.
That's fair.
A little bit more creative.
That's fair. And for Blake himself, he's has one other game in his career with a better rating. It was in 2015 against Tennessee in December. He was in the 130s that day, a 5-touchdown day. But I think this just – by the optics of it, was probably the best performance he's had as a Jaguar. I think that's pretty clear.
After what happened last week, it certainly is that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put circumstances into play here a little bit. I mean, he played pretty well in week one, didn't kill the team. Then he came back in week two and didn't play all that well. And the dialogue was, once again, oh, this guy's terrible, he stinks, he's got to go. And now he comes back and throws 4 touchdown passes because they gave him an opportunity. And I want to stress that. A quarterback cannot play in this league with being put in obvious passing situations all the time. He just cannot. I don't care who you are. The great of the greats, Rodgers and Brady, they can overcome that stuff because they're so great.
Yeah.
But the other guys can't. And so I think giving him the chance to play a little looser and be a little freer, you know, allowed him to become comfortable. And he looked, even when he rolled out, in the past, the times he's rolled out, he hasn't been patient. And I don't know, was it the play where – who came across all the way across the field? He had two levels there. And in the past, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Grant. Cole? Did he throw – no, it was Grant, I think. Okay. Charles Grant came out of the backfield.
Corey Grant.
Well, he had the Corey Grant, not Charles Grant. Corey Grant. But he had the second level, and he could have forced the ball into the second level on that play when he bootlegged to the right.
Okay.
But instead, he was patient, and he waited for Grant to come cross and get free, and he hit him for about, I think it was like an 8-9 yard gain. That was – it's a little minor thing, but in the past, pressured Blake, you know, the guy who's all tense and didn't allow the play loose, would have taken the shot to the second level – and it probably would have been picked off because there were a lot of bodies in there. The guy was open, but I just seen somebody jump in front of it.
Right.
This guy waited and hit Grant for a really good play. I thought he was – he looked like – you know, sometimes Blake looks like when he goes bad, he just looks like he's down on himself. He never had that look at all on Sunday. Not a bit of it.
None of that. And some of the, most of these passes are just right on the money. The one to Lee, we're watching now on Jaguars.com on the early in the game, and then – the fade to Mercedes in the corner, which in the past has not been a great throw for Blake, but that looked great. And then the double fake reverse thing to Mercedes. And by the way, Mercedes Lewis, 3 touchdowns, a career high. And a guy who had 3 touchdowns combined over the last 3 seasons had 3 in 1 game. And
by the way, the design of that play was fantastic because Mercedes actually delayed going out, and the linebacker, they got the safety to go with the end-around look, and the linebacker ended up being, oh, no, you know, because he thought he was blocking, and then they got him wide open. They saw whoever – the game plan was well executed, well thought out. They saw a lot of things that the Ravens did and kind of overcame them and used it to their advantage. I thought – the bullet to Hearns was one of his best throws in a long time. Got back there, was decisive, put his foot in the ground, and fired a rifle shot. It's on Jaguars.com right now between the linebacker and they got the safety. So, yeah, a really good day for Blake Bortles. And you know, the other thing, too, there were a lot of times where he went back in the pocket and he had beautiful protection.
Nobody touched him.
Yeah. I mean, he was flushed a couple times, but there was really good protection.
That's what a day for this Jaguars offense. Blake Bortles, we're watching the highlights on Jaguars.com. I could watch those all day, Pete, I think, and be satisfied. How about the run game? Leonard Fournette had a couple little flashes, you know, along of 15. He still hasn't broken that big one yet, but he scored a touchdown for the 3rd consecutive game, the first Jaguars player to ever do that in their first 3 games. And, you know, he's looking the part. He continues to do so. 17 carries for 59 yards yesterday in London, and he's going to be – he's a star already for this Jaguars offense.
He really is. He's a good football player. And but other than that, they also, you know, used more where the guard got out in front of him a little bit. You know, Amame got out and pulled, and they pulled Can. You know, they used more of that stuff this week. And I thought, you know, who had – Koyak blocked – when I didn't watch the tape, but I watched the TV tape, and it looked like Koyak blocked pretty well in some of those runs. And you know, look, you can see they're getting better up front, too. They're getting more cohesion up front. You know, they had a couple penalties. Still get too many penalties up front, but they were better up front as well. So, yeah, it was a good day for the offense, surprisingly. Not surprisingly, a good day for the defense. I thought the Ravens were awful on offense, by the way.
They
awful.
Had issues coming in, and we're going to come back, Pete, and get into some of those issues and how the Jaguars exploited those, especially in the offensive line for the Ravens, where they were missing some parts yesterday, and Joe Flacco didn't have much to do in the game at Wembley. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Tony Boselli still to come from London. Pete Prisco's down in South Florida. I'm JP Shadrick, and this is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I mean, yeah, it's my guy, man. We the best tandem in the league. I'm always gonna stand by that. I'm always gonna ride with my mans. I mean, once he got one, he just kept coming up to me. He said, "Jay, yours is coming." You know, he always tell me I'm the best. I always tell him he the best, and I truly believe that. Together we are the best tandem. So, you know, I couldn't let my man show me up, so I had to go out there and do a little something.
Jalen Ramsey in the locker room at Wembley yesterday as the Jags hammer the Ravens 44-7. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco. And we're out to Tony Boselli. He's gallivanting through London still, Pete.
It's unbelievable. The kid, I mean, my gosh. Doesn't he realize that we start at 6?
I guess. I don't know if he got lost in translation or what happened, but
it's unbelievable.
We'll hear from him hopefully at some point. If not, hey, it's the old Pete and JP.
If not, it's the best show of the year.
Yeah, right? Right, yeah.
If I don't say so myself, it's the best show of the year.
Like the old
we don't have him getting angry at every stop here at the program, right? Or getting fans call in. I mean, unless the guy calls me the same name he called me last week, then we might get angry. But
what was that again?
The
Smurf. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He called you a Smurf. And he called you
a short beep.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That
like, he got
best,
mad at me.
Might have been the best call of the year, actually, Pete. I hate to say that.
Yeah, that's been the best call we've had in a long time. It reminded me, that call actually, JP, reminded me when I used to do my show. That reminded me of that.
I agree with that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
People get mad at you, man.
No, I know. I'm a lightning rod. You should see the Chiefs Nation
You're
get mad at
the shortest lightning rod I've ever heard of in my life.
You know that? Yeah, JP? The whole Chiefs Nation is angry at me now.
Why?
Because I picked them finished last in the division, so they just are bombing me. They're bombing me. Well, that's a good division.
They're a good football team, though, Peter.
Yeah, they are. And in fact, I'm writing about them tomorrow to lead the power ranking, so just to get them off my back.
That's the only reason you're doing it.
No, they're really good. Andy Reid's done a hell of a job with them. But we'll talk more about the league when we get to that part of the show. But I wanted to get back to the defense.
Yeah, like we just heard from Jalen Ramsey there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and Jalen Ramsey, by the way, you're not the best tandem in the league.
Who is?
Chris Harris and Aqib Talib.
Really?
You know, I told you that story in the summer. Chris Harris and Aqib Talib, and Jalen Ramsey would actually think this was funny, but Chris Harris and Aqib Talib were getting ready to do a live shot with NFL Network. Now, I know Chris Harris pretty well. I don't know Aqib Talib. But they were getting ready to do a live shot, and I was walking by at training camp, and I said, Hey, guys, the guys in Jacksonville, Boye and Ramsey say they're the best tandem in the league. And Talib yelled, how many, you know how he has that high-pitched voice? He goes, how many Pro Bowls they got? And then Chris Harris chimed in and goes, better yet, how many wins they have?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, so, that's a good point, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but look, this is a good tandem. And you know what that good – not just the tandem, because I think Colvin's good too. Mm-hmm. You know what that allows them to do? It allows them to be creative when they have to up at the line of scrimmage. And you saw the Ravens got a taste of what Jacksonville gets a taste of on offense. They had a lot of times you saw the guy would try and cut back, and there was the safety. Yep. And you know, that's tough to run on when you have that. So I think having great corners allows you to get creative up front, allows you to do a lot of different things. Those two guys are very, you know, Ramsey didn't get a pick. Ramsey was fantastic. When you watch him, and again, I haven't watched the 22. I did watch last week's 22. He is one hell of a player. I'm telling you, I stick to what I said on draft night. I'll continue to say this. Yep. The Cowboys drafted Ezekiel Elliott. They will regret in the long run not taking Jalen Ramsey. That's how good he is.
They threw at him, what, one time last week, right?
It's incredible. And he's a big, tough, physical, long corner, and he can cover. He is going to be a star for a long, long time in this league.
The interception Boye's interception was incredible, first of all, and then Ramsey comes and baits Flacco into it.
Yeah, that diving interception. Diving interception was incredible by Ramsey.
What a play!
It was absolutely incredible. I mean, the guy's a star. He right now he's among the top five corners in the league. He's among the top five corners in the league already. And it's what, a year and three games. That's how good he is. And when he came out, you saw it. To have that type of player playing in your secondary. And I'm not slighting Boye either, but Boye is good. Ramsey is going to be great. If Jalen Ramsey plays his cards right, he will be the East Coast version of Richard Sherman. If I had... And one day I'm going to come down there and talk to him. I'm going to say, listen, Jalen, because I know at times they said sometimes in the media he doesn't like to do it or whatever.
Sure.
I'd sit him down and I'd say, Jalen Ramsey, everybody in this league will know your name if you play this game the right way. And by that I mean they want you to do something, do it. They want you to do a commercial, you do it. You want to do an interview, you do it. And be yourself, because he's got a great personality. That thing just bubbles over. I mean, he'll say stuff. Just be who he will be, the East Coast version of Richard Sherman. And you know what? He might end up being a better player. Because Richard Sherman is a really, really good player. But a lot of people think Richard Sherman plays in that cover three system and he can't play a lot of lock up man-to-man. I beg to differ. But there's no doubt this kid can do all of that. And so advice to Jalen Ramsey, become the East Coast version of Richard Sherman. Everybody will know your name. And that's how good a player I think he can be.
They got another takeaway yesterday, too, the fumble forced by Calais Campbell, who's turned out to be a fantastic football player. We knew that coming in, but seeing it firsthand now, we're getting a good taste of that. Telvin Smith with a long return to set him up inside the 5-yard line. This is a defense that's taken the ball away. The offense isn't giving it up, and all of a sudden you look up, and they're second in the league in plus-minus. They're +5 for the season now in turnover ratio. That's been an issue around here, Pete.
Calais Campbell is a grown man, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Every team, and we said that before the season, when you come to the line of scrimmage and you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive line, Calais Campbell is a grown man, Malik Jackson is a grown man. And you know, obviously everybody in the league is a grown man, but I'm talking about the big physical presence. You look, it's like when John Henderson and Marcus Stroud were there, you'd look across the line and you say they're grown men, they're big physical power players, and they're really good.
Yeah, how are you going to block this guy is what they think, you know?
Yeah, and Avery Jones kind of gets lost in that little thing because Jackson and Campbell are the, you know, the kind of veteran free agent signings, but Avery Jones is a good player too. I mean, that's a big, physical, tough front. And if Dante Fowler continues to develop, it's going to be a big, physical, tough front that can rush the passer really well. So, it's got a chance. And Miles Jack is getting better every week.
He's fast.
Posluszny, yeah. And Posluszny made some plays. You know, Telvin can fly. I think Barry Church has been a nice, steady and influence in the back end. I mean, this is a really good defense.
We're taking a look at the Dante Fowler sack now on Jaguars.com, and he kind of rolled that way, but still a nice play by Dante to get on the back of Flacco there.
Well, he whipped the tight end. The tight end had no chance on that play. He just whipped him and went around him. But again, he bent the corner a little bit against the tight end. He looked like a pass rusher on that play, which he hadn't looked like last year. He clearly is a different guy. He's clearly a different guy. You can tell he cares about it now. You know, that was the book on him. Did he really love the game? You could tell by the way he's playing that he cares about it. Maybe Calais Campbell's rubbing off on him. Maybe because he looks across the other side and sees Ngakoue getting sacks and people looking at that and giving him more credit, and now that's rubbed off on him. Whatever it is, he's playing good football.
You see on the screen on Jaguars.com takeaways, giveaways for the year. Now, is this Ravens team as bad as they showed yesterday, or are they going to get better?
I don't know how they get better with all those injuries. I mean, it's just been on and on and on with this team. You know, you lose. You know, they didn't have Brandon Williams on Sunday on defense, which really hurt them.
Yep.
But they also, you lose Yonde. He's one of the, you know, five best offensive linemen in the league. And you look at the offensive line from a year ago; they had nobody left. Mm. You know, it's pretty amazing. Ronnie Stanley was banged up last year, but they have nobody else. They lost their left guard in camp. The center quit. Retired John Urschel, who's going to be their center. Yep. They brought Zuda back, but he didn't play.
And Flacco's been hurt the last couple of years, right?
I still think there's something wrong with him. I think the back is an issue with him. You never know with the back, but he just doesn't look like the same guy.
What do you mean, just moving around, or the throws, or where do you say that from?
He just doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like he wants to throw. You know, a lot of times he checked that ball down. He didn't look like he wanted to throw the ball down the field. They just don't look very good. And you know, I don't know. Again, they almost signed Kaepernick. Remember, they considered it.
That's right.
Maybe they should consider it again. Maybe they should go back and revisit that. Because if Flacco can't play, Ryan Mallett can't play at all. I mean, he's awful. So they might have to reconsider doing something like that. I just think there's something more going on. It's just a hunch. Something more going on with Joe Flacco.
Very interesting. The Jags took advantage yesterday in London. We're going to come back. Well, even special teams. There was a trick up the Jags' sleeve late in the game.
By the way, I hated that.
Ah.
I hated it.
We'll delve into it and see if it was a little much. for the Jags to fake that punt late? I didn't think so. I thought it was pretty cool. But we'll
I hated it.
We'll discuss.
I hated it.
When we return, the JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations, along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. Tony Boselli coming up at some point from London. Pete Prisco's in South Florida. JP Shadrick in Jacksonville. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I don't know if I've lost, you know what I'm saying, in this stadium. Old and new. You know, it brings me back as soon as I land, you know, with the people. You know, they've always been so good, you know, to me personally. I have good friends that are out here. You know, the experience, you know, for us is outstanding. The fans, you talk about, you know, great fans out here for the sport of American football. I think that's outstanding. The stadium's great. I love it. You know, I feel old because when I was a young kid growing up, my grandfather worked at Yankee Stadium. I liked the new Yankee Stadium, and he always liked the old Yankee Stadium. And so with Wembley, it was always the same thing. Like, I just have a feel for the old stadium. I think the new stadium's outstanding. But in my heart, you know, I'll always remember the old stadium.
There's your head coach, Doug Marrone, after the game yesterday at Wembley, speaking to the assembled media after a win 44-7 over the Ravens. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, we're about 5 minutes away, Pete, we're told, from the arrival of Tony Boselli over the phone in the U.K.
Well, there goes the show down the drains then. But
well, at least the first hour was good.
Hey, I want to say something, J.P. I want to give the Jaguar coaches, who I was very critical of a week ago, a lot of credit for what they did on Sunday.
Yeah,
they actually adjusted.
You kind of got on them last week a little bit.
Yeah, I did, because I thought it was predictable, boring, dry offense last week, and they responded. It wasn't predictable this week. It wasn't the same thing we've come to expect. And they'll say, well, what did you change? Well, you did a lot of different little things that you could tell that they worked on. I just like the play to Lewis. That came from film study. They must have seen on tape somewhere, I think it was Jefferson was the safety, that he was going to follow the fake reverse and get out of there and vacate the area, right, and leave that linebacker thinking he was blocking, going to stay there, hold the edge, and you got him down the field. Creativity was good. Now, I'm going to give him a lot of props. I'm going to give the head coach props for getting his team ready. I'm going to give the offensive coaches props for doing what they did. I'm going to give the defensive coaches props because they were dominant on that side of the ball.
Yes.
But now I'm going to rip the head coach for the awful, terrible decision to fake punt in that situation.
Why is that an awful, terrible decision, Pete?
Because you just don't. That's like taking somebody at 37-0. That's like taking somebody's face and rubbing it in the dirt after you beat the daylights out of them. It just, what goes around comes around in the NFL.
Well,
okay,
this came around in the past, right? Didn't Baltimore? This is years ago. Obviously.
Baltimore did it to Pittsburgh once at 27-0. But last I checked, Doug Marrone wasn't on that staff. I don't know. I thought that was a bad situation when the Ravens did it. I think this is a bad situation when the Jaguars did it. In fact, I tweeted out Bush League when they did it. I don't like it. I got a ton of tweets from Jaguars fans saying, if you don't like it, stop it.
Stop it. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, well, you know what? There comes a point when it's 37-0 with about 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter, we just go play football.
Hey,
they're not coming back on you.
If you had only gotten 5 yards in a first down, would you be mad right now?
I think I would have been. I don't like fake. Why are you faking a punt?
If you got 5 yards and a first down and that's it.
No, yes, I'm still mad about it.
Not 70 yards or whatever the hell you got.
Why are you faking a punt 37-0?
Keep the ball. Keep the game moving. Get to the fourth quarter.
JP, are they coming back from 37-0?
No, they had no chance coming back.
Okay, so why are you doing that then?
I say keep the ball.
You don't think that's rubbing it in?
Yeah, sure. It's the NFL. It's not college kids running around the field.
Back 25 years ago, somebody would have called. The other team would have called a play and run it to the sideline, so one of the receivers would have rolled on Doug's leg or something. I mean, that's what they would have done back in the day. I mean, I didn't see the post game handshake. Was it tense?
I don't know.
Anybody who saw that, I'd love to hear from them at some point tonight. I didn't see the handshake because I was on the set, but I can't imagine John Harbaugh was real thrilled with 37-0 fake punt.
I'm told it was quick. Joe Fortunato saw it, and he said it was very fast. But at 44-7, it's going to be fast no matter what. They're not going to be buddy-buddy.
Nah, not if. Maybe he was upset. I would have said something to him.
John Harbaugh is a special teams coach. Would he have done it?
He's done it before, and he was wrong when he did it too. It was 27-0 when he did it.
He's just, done it, so he knows what it's like.
That's a Bush League move.
Why would he be mad?
It's a Bush League move. What's the point of it?
He's done it before. Why would he be mad?
Okay, other than rubbing it in somebody's face, what's the point of that fake punt? To work on it?
To get a first down. And now everybody else in the league, the rest of your schedule has to prepare for that.
Oh, especially in that situation when it's
37-0 every week.
If the Jaguars are up 37-0 again, yeah, right. Come on, JP, you can't defend that play.
It's a damn strong football team, Pete.
There's no defending that play, JP. None. And I'm sure Tony's going to get on here and he's going to go, Mr. Coach, football guy. No, we play one play at a time. I can just hear it now. It's coming. I know it's coming. It was a Bush League play in my book. And you know what? If Doug was sitting across from me, I'd tell him that was a Bush League play.
I will say this, Pete, that after the game, you know, you walk around the press box after the game up there, and you got UK folks and US folks. I had two or three questions about the fake punt because it was different. I'll say that. Yeah.
I'll say what I said on Twitter. It was Bush League. Okay. That's a Bush League play. Right. I just don't like it. You know, it's like, would you throw a pass up 47-3 in the fourth quarter on second down and one? No, you wouldn't do that. That'd be rubbing it in. They rubbed it in. It was bad. I'm sure some of those. Me back in the day, as a beat guy, I probably would have had to go into the main locker room, but I would have sent one of our guys over if we had a chance to go into the Ravens locker room and get a story out of that and stir that pot.
What they think, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you take offense to the fact that they ran a punt, fake punt at four? And I would ask Harbaugh
if that's what they're offended about in the game and not the rest of their terrible performance. Then that's
that was offensive too. That was offensive to everybody.
I'm offended by that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. But I was offended by the me personally as a football purist who thinks you play a game a certain way with a little bit of class and dignity. You don't fake a punt 37-0. You just don't. Now, you know, I can hear somebody now saying, in the Super Bowl it was 28-3, right. But that's 25 points. It's not 37.
And it's the Super Bowl. You got to make sure you win that, right?
They weren't coming back from 37-0. You know it. I can't wait to hear Bocelli babble about it because I know he's going to take up the side of the coach. I can predict that now. I can predict it right now.
Hear that coming from across the pond, and we'll do that.
By the way, JP, I want to ask you one quick thing. In the press box in England, what do they serve you for like a meal? I'd be just curious.
No, it's interesting because
fish and chips.
No, they have like a chili thing with rice before the game, which is really good actually. The chili is a little spicy, and then the rice is good. And they have like some squash and green beans or something. I didn't have any.
I bet that's beautiful for the plane ride home for all you guys.
Yeah,
by the way,
be careful with a 3-hour pregame show. So they have this toffee cake, and it's probably 2 inches around and maybe an inch and a half tall with some icing on top. And I could have eaten like 10 of those. They were unbelievable. At halftime, they normally had, I think, hot dogs, but I got there too late.
So they do have hot dogs and stuff, like regular hot dogs.
Yeah, they're different, though. But I got there in time. They're bigger. They're long. It's a different thing. But they were all gone. But I got there in time for the jalapeno poppers and chips. So the fries and the jalapeno poppers, which are pretty good. So it's not bad, you know. It's okay.
No, it's just different.
Yeah, I didn't go around the concourse. Now I don't know what they had in regular concession stands, but I will say at Craven Cottage for the Fulham game, I did have a beef pie, which was fantastic.
Ew, that sounds repulsive.
It's like steak and gravy in a biscuit crust.
Ugh, and that doesn't sound good
at
all.
With a Carlsberg lager on top of that.
Oh, so you actually went to a soccer game?
Yeah, on Saturday. Oh, wow. Fulham's team. Yeah, Shad's team.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It was fantastic. So, hey, let's come back. We'll go to London. Tony Bocelli is due to call us. We'll get at some point the Tony Bocelli Twitter question of the night. Maybe not. We'll see if we get to that tonight. Do you have PFF grades, Pete?
Yeah, I got them.
I'm sure they're all positive this week.
I got them. I got the right ones this week too, unlike last week.
Make sure you grade Corey Graham on his fake punt too. Let's get that grade when we come back.
Well, the coach got an F for the fake punt, so.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Second hour coming up. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
The
it's special to come over here. I think, you know, first off, to come over here every year and kind of figure out a routine, I think we have a little bit of an advantage there being able to do that. We're used to the trip and used to figuring everything out. And then playing in the stadium and in this atmosphere is incredible. I think, you know, right before kickoff when everybody started waving the Jaguars flags, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, you kind of get chills running through the back of your spine. So it was cool to see, and it's incredible to play here. I enjoy it.
Blake Bortles discussing Wembley Stadium and the Wembley roar of over 84,000, the largest attended game at Wembley for the NFL in their 10 years of playing games in London in the regular season. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Vaselli coming up. I got to get with you, Pete, on this thing, right? So we're talking about the special teams, the fake punt and all that. It was a 37-0 and they fake, right? You hate it. I kind of dig it. And somebody on Twitter just reminded me, Pete, that 2 years ago, in London, the Jags were up 27-3 in the second quarter. Lost the lead, remember? 31-27 with 5:21 to play in the fourth before the Allen Hurns diving catch touchdown to win it with like 2 minutes to play. So they've lost leads in London before. It's not like they have.
They didn't lose a 37-0 lead with 30 seconds to go in the third quarter.
27-3. It's 24 plus. It's not 37 touchdowns.
It's not 37-0 in the third quarter.
Well, it's still 37-0 in the third quarter when they faked the punt and got the first down. I think you're just mad it went for 60 yards. If it's like for five and a first down,
I'm mad they did it. I'm mad they did it. It's a bad play. JP, you can't justify that play.
Harbaugh did a few years ago. Remember that. So he
somebody tweeted at me, by the way, and said that the handshake was short with one little drive-by and no eye contact.
If I got beat by 40 points, I wouldn't want to talk to the guy either. I got news for you.
If you hey. Run a fake punt,
Tony
37-0, they want to.
Hey,
yes.
Let me tell you what I think. I think it was a great play. Beat your arm.
I told you.
It's the NFL. This is in Pop Warner or high school or even college. If you don't like it, then stop it. Keep on scoring until they make you stop.
Typical reaction from you. I called it before you even got on the show after you stuffing your face full of a giant steak dinner over there somewhere.
Well, I'm glad you called it. If you listened to us on the radio yesterday, I said it on the radio, so it wasn't like you were like going out on a limb.
What do you think? I mean, sit around and listen to you on the radio on Sunday? I don't listen to you on the radio on Sunday. I'm working.
Yeah, you do. You know you do. It's all you
Tony,
do. You listen to me.
That was a Bush League play. Bush with a capital B.
Nope. I liked it.
Let me ask you this. If it was 37-0 and you were the other team, you would have...
Yeah, but that's exactly why I liked it for the Jaguars. This is an organization that hasn't won in a long time. It's been the whipping boy of the entire league, and it needs some swagger. It needs some attitude, and it needs to have the, you know, almost of an attitude like, you know, you can kiss them. You know, kiss it where the sun don't shine. If you don't like it, stop us. And I want this team to have a little bit more of that. And I just liked it. I think it was like, you know what? Screw it. We're coming after you, and we're not going to stop until you make us. And I get what you're saying, Pete. I really do, actually. And all joking aside, but I think this team needs that. And I want to see it. I want this team is. A team that has, it doesn't have the largest margin of error as far as mistakes. I'm not sure how many teams, as far as to win games, and I'm not sure how many teams in the NFL do now. You watch this past Sunday, holy cow. And who would have thought the Houston Texans would have taken the Patriots to the mat? But, and so if they can get confidence and find some confidence, I think it will change. I think it will help it quite a bit. It just needs it. And so that was a play, typically I would agree with Pete, actually. But for whatever reason, in that moment, I'm like, you know what? I like it. Drop it. See, drop the hammer on these guys.
You sent your message already. It's 37-0. You dropped your hammer already.
Send it more. No, the message is we're coming and you can't do anything about it.
No, you're not coming and you can't do anything about it. You tricked them and you can't do anything about it. It's not like
ran. We're going to score. We're going to keep going. Guess what, Pete? If you don't like it, stop it.
Yeah, then line up and play football. Then don't give me that trick crap at 37-0. Come on, Tony. I know you. I've talked to you many times about football. You deep down, if you got on a lie detector test, the thing would go. You have no idea. You do not believe in that. You did not believe in it.
I just told you, most of the time, I agree with you. But I'm telling you, in this instance, I actually caught myself almost going, I'm like, why is this okay with me? Because you're right. In most cases, it wouldn't be. And there's something about where this franchise is. It needs to get some dang swagger.
That doesn't give you swagger.
Say, like,
you've earned the swagger already. Like, it's 37-0. You don't need that swagger.
It's almost like the head coach saying, you know what? Here we go. Let's put in fifth gear. Go up to sixth gear and keep going.
I mean, Pete, what do you want them to do? If they scored on third down there from 55 yards away, would you still be mad?
If they're playing regular football, no. They're not
What's
playing.
What's the difference?
They're tricking them. 37-0. Come on. You've been around the game a long time, Tony. So, JP, you've been around it, too. That's a Bush League play with a capital B. Sorry. Just is.
Mm. Tony.
Tony, I said earlier in the show, 25, 30 years ago, somebody would have called a pass play to get the receiver to roll over on Doug's leg on the sideline. You know how that used to go.
There's no business and, maybe a little bit of extra quicker activity, but it is what it is. One way or another, I thought it was fun. In the big scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. You know that as well as I do, Pete. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. We'll say that if this is the one thing.
So if it didn't mean anything, why do it then?
So it was fun. That's why. Yeah, I liked it.
Okay. Yeah, you're not really – see, deep down he's not defending it. I know he isn't. I know him. I know how he is. He's been around the game. He respects the game. He's been around it too long. And there's not one bit of you, I don't care what you say right now, that thinks that's a good play. Nothing. You're a liar.
Are you calling me a liar, Pete?
Yes, you're lying about this, and you know it. Let's get the – hey, where's the police department? Let's get a lie detector test in there. We'll ask him next week. I guarantee that thing goes haywire.
BS.
Well, if this is the one thing that you guys are hung up on.
Who cares? Actually, I'm over this part already. How was the first hour of the show without me, Pete?
It was the best show we've
had. It was by far the best we've ever done on this program, by far and away. The only other time it was better was when it was just me and me and somebody else for a couple. Me and JP did it for a couple hours one time without you, too. That's the second best show.
No, that's not what Twitter's saying. I'm reading Twitter. They're like, where are you? Pete needs help.
No, Pete never needs help. But JP needed your help because JP felt good today for the first time in a long time on a Monday. Nobody's picking on him.
We got an hour left.
We had a good time here, didn't we, JP?
It was a hell of a weekend. It always is. And you have a better time than most, Tony, and you're still having one, I think, over there.
Well, I got a busy schedule, though. And, I mean, JP, admit that. I got a busy schedule on here.
You are. You're running
around.
What did
you guys do?
He's doing interviews.
What did you do Saturday?
He's entertaining people. He's
a grind.
He's all over.
Hey, Tony, I saw a picture.
From the time I get here, I landed. Now, when I say a grind, I love it. And I really enjoy it. And Hussein Naki, who heads up the London team for the Jaguars, just does a great job. But we had a school Wednesday I got here, landed. Got to the hotel, took a 10-minute shower, got in the car, and went to a school program. And we have honor rows in Jacksonville to honor kids who get good grades and good in the community and everything else. We have reward rows in London. It's sponsored by LGT Vester US. And so we went to one of the schools, gave them their tickets. It was great. And so then we had an event Wednesday night. Thursday night. So it gets busy. It's fun.
Hey, Tony, did you – I wanted to ask you this because I saw him on the field. Did you go over and ask Jonathan Ogden about being the second-best tackle on the field Sunday?
No, I didn't. I literally had 5 minutes where I couldn't see him, but I was running to somewhere else, and then I came back out, and I couldn't find him. So I didn't get a chance to see him.
You know what you could have said to him? You could have said, hey, Jonathan, if things had worked out, you'd have been the right tackle opposite me.
He was a great player, Pete.
But you know what? I asked Kaufman point blank. I said, if you had drafted Jonathan Ogden in 1996 instead of signing Leon Searcy, who would have played right tackle? And he said, Jonathan Ogden. I swear.
Well, he's been a good player. He was a great player.
He was a great player.
Great player. One of the best ever.
Hey, did they
so
fly?
He's giant. I forget how big he is. Plus, he's giant.
Oh, massive, massive. Yeah, he's a massive man. Hey, did they flew out a bunch of Ravens? Were there other Jaguars there beside you, like that were over there? Or was
Brett, Mark and Fred were there.
Oh, good. Okay, I didn't know those guys who went over there. Okay,
and Mark was on during the game on the big boards and everything, getting interviewed throughout and doing a bunch of different events for the league throughout the week. The NFL.
He looked old.
God, you're brutal. Did he look old?
You got a lot of gray hair, I'll tell you that much. Oh,
yeah, but other than gray hair, I'm going to defend Mark on this. Other than gray hair, Mark looks like he did when he played, I think.
He was playing like 4 years ago, wasn't he?
He played for 28 years or something, didn't he?
You know what? Because he coached high school football, I mean, as you know, he can still sling it. He can still throw that dang thing.
Well, maybe the Jaguars should sign him as a backup then.
No.
The only thing is he might start. No, I'm kidding.
Well, Blake played well now, Pete. Did you watch
Blake played good. Hey, Tony, don't you think that what we talked about on here last week, they got a little creative on Sunday? I thought it was much better creativity-wise.
Yes. Well, I thought the biggest thing was on second play of the game, they went over the top to Marquise Lee. I was like, thank you. It's great. I told Nathaniel Hackett, I said, hey, heck of a job, way to open it up. It was a great job by him.
And the touchdown.
I think it's safe to say you and I can take credit for that. I think they listened to the show. We told them the game plan, and it worked perfectly.
I agree. And you know, like we were talking earlier, Tony, about the touchdown, the Mercedes, the fake reverse touchdown. They must have saw something on tape where Tony Jefferson – runs with the reverse guy or the action that way, because that was a fantastic call. And the way the design of it was outstanding.
Yeah, I thought he played very well. I thought, usually you watch the tape, and I watched it this morning here in London. Even in a win, you find, a couple guys who don't play great or whatever. And for the most part, and I'd be interested in what PFF says tonight. I don't know if you guys already did that or not. But
no, we haven't. We're waiting for you.
We'll do it next segment.
I'd be shocked if there was any negative grades.
Any? None?
And
zero?
A negative, what?
Zero, you're saying. None.
Well, I don't think – I mean, I think they'll probably beat some because Jerry pointed out two holding calls. One was kind of Bush League. The other one was, but other than that, he played good. A.J. Cann's holding penalty was Bush League. It's not a hold. Marquise Lee had a drop for a touchdown. That was bad. But, outside of those, I thought Blake was outstanding. The only – literally, I don't know how many attempts he had, JP, but I would say there was only one pass that was inaccurate. And it was just off a little bit. It's back shoulder to Marquise. I thought he threw it too far inside. I think because it's back shoulder, it might be a reception. But, yeah. I mean, that's every quarterback does that. I mean,
He was
Tom Brady. They all miss a pass during a game. Other than that, he was so accurate. I mean, the balls he threw were great.
He was 20 of 31 passing, by the way.
Yeah, he threw it away when he needed to. I thought he was outstanding.
Tony, I thought the one play that we mentioned earlier, too, was when he had the roll to the right. And he hit, I think it was Grant when he came out of the backfield.
Yeah, great play.
He was patient on that because he had the next level, but there were a bunch of bodies in there. He could have tried to fire it in there on the next level, but he didn't. He waited till Grant got open toward him, and he hit a nice little throw. I think it was for 9 yards. It wasn't a big throw, but that to me was a very telling throw about where his confidence level was and where he was in terms of what he was doing on.
You want to know the biggest story of the season to me? It's the offensive line. They've given up 2 sacks. This is a group that all of us are critical of, and it's a group I really like individually. I think they're great guys. And so it's always so hard for me to be critical, so I'm so happy they're playing well. We have a left tackle. Let me just state that right now. If Cam Robinson continues to work, he'll be an All-Pro. He's that talented. He will be in the Pro Bowl, a chance to be All-Pro. All-Pro is harder, obviously, but he'll be in the Pro Bowl. If he works on his craft, he is naturally so good. And he is going to be a really good football player. Brandon Linder is playing great football.
Suggs didn't want any part of him, it didn't look like, on his rushes.
No, he was the only time Cam ever gets in trouble. He just turns a little bit early. But he's a young player. That happens. I mean, I used to do it. And he shortens the corner every once in a while. And, you know, young player, maybe he didn't have to get any MAs watching the tape. He had a couple the week before. And he was really good. He's a good – I enjoy watching him. You know what he has, Pete? He has a little bit of nastiness to him.
I know. He does.
Yeah,
he's not.
I love
it. For a young kid to, you know, because Suggs is a nasty player. He didn't back down one bit from him.
Yeah, and he's,
he didn't back down.
Well, I didn't think. I'll be honest with you. So, like all sports, you know, it's a game of matchups. I thought he would have a harder time with Arakpo last week, and he did, just because Arakpo's kind of jump, chop, and turn the hips and get the edge after the bull rush. If you're not, if you don't set good, if you set good, you're gonna block him. He'll block him every time. He'll beat Arakpo. But if you get perpendicular and turn your shoulders, you're going to give that short edge and that little jump hand move works. I didn't think Suggs would be a problem for him because Suggs is more in his older age. He's more of a power player. He doesn't have the speed, and so you can really just sit heavy on Suggs and wait for him if you're smart. And Cam was smart, played it very well. So I didn't think Kane would have a lot of problems with Suggs. I really didn't going in, and he didn't. And Jeremy Parnell, I thought, did a good job. I mean, obviously can't hold like that. AJ Cann's playing better and better. I mean, literally two sacks all year. It's great. He had a great game.
Koyak looked like he blocked very well. Koyak looked like he blocked very well from the TV tape. I couldn't tell, but he looked like he did a nice job blocking.
Mercedes Lewis, and I know everyone knows he had a good game because of three touchdowns. If you get a chance in all 22, go watch him block. It was a dominating blocking. I mean, dominating. It was the Mercedes of old, the way he was blocking. So, great job by the whole unit.
Hey, well, I can't wait to get into grades because I think I'm going to get you angry today.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Let's come back and get to the PFF grades that'll anger Tony Boselli across the pond tonight. Tony Boselli.
Why do you guys like? I want to know why do you like angering me?
Why not? It's easy.
What'd you say?
Are we able to do calls tonight? Are we able to do calls with me on the phone or no?
Yeah, we get over the phone line.
That won't get you angry though. I'm going to get you angry.
We'll open the phone lines. We'll get to the Pro Football Focus grades. Tony Boselli's in London. Pete Prisco is down in South Florida. JP Shadrick in Jacksonville. And this is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Just do what we do. We come out here with a smile on our face. Have a great ride home. Let's go. Make plays on three. One, two, three.
Mercedes Lewis mic'd up for the game at Wembley yesterday. You can hear the full feature on Jaguars.com. JP Shadrick in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco in South Florida, and Tony Boselli on the phone with us from London, England. Jaguars Monday continues. It is time now, gentlemen, for Pro Football Focus grades, the Anger Boselli segment each and every week. And Pete, you promised some anger tonight.
Oh, he's going to be mad. He's going to be mad. Let's put it this way. There are three guys on the offensive line who graded in the red.
that's stupid. I mean, that's so dumb.
Take a guess who they are.
Jeremy Parnell, the two holding penalties.
No, they gave him for minus 3.2 in the run game. Was he bad in the run game?
Well, that's where the two holding penalties were.
No, they got a category for penalty that negated him for minus 0.07, so it has nothing to do with it. He was a bad run blocker. I haven't watched the tape, obviously, but was he good in the run game or not?
He wasn't as good in the run as the pass, but I would not say he was bad.
Okay. AJ Cann in the minus pool also has a run blocker.
He had the penalty, and I disagree with that. I thought AJ played better. I would have given him a even grade.
Cam Robinson in the minus pool.
That's stupid.
And then Omame and Linder were slightly above positive, but not in the green.
So you're telling me you hang 44 on the team, you have over 40 yards of offense, you give zero sacks, you control the line of scrimmage against the number one rated defense coming into the game, and you have zero offensive linemen in the green? Yeah. This is stupid. We're done with the segment. Let's move on.
No, we're not. We're going to keep going because you were right. Mercedes Lewis got a big plus for both blocking and catching the ball. Blake Bortles was on the plus. Leonard Fournette was on the plus. Ben Koyak was on the plus. They gave him a plus in blocking. Tommy Bohannon was on the plus. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's doing a nice job.
All right, so let's go to the defense. Do you think anybody was on the red on defense? Any starter?
Let me think.
There's only one.
No. There's only one in the red?
Yeah, Telvin Smith was in the red.
Telvin was in the red?
Yeah.
He had a fumble recovery like 50 yards.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. That's stupid.
All right. What's the dumb highest graded. Highest graded.
Yeah, they obviously didn't pay attention.
Calais Campbell is the highest rated.
Calais really does. He's had a great season, Pete. I mean, he is just dominant.
I know he is. Malik Jackson and Avery Jones slightly above.
If you're Arizona, I mean, was that salary cap issues why they let him go, Pete?
Yes, exactly what it was. Plus, they drafted Robert Kemdichie. And they thought they think he's going to be able to play that role. But so you know, sometimes you got to let the older guy go when you got a young guy waiting to play. But that was a bad move.
Yeah, but the way Calais looks and as big as he is, I mean, he's got a full 2 more years after this one because he's so big that his career will be longer. One thing, he's going to be, you know, it might tail off a little bit, but he's so big and powerful that he can adapt his game. It's not like he has quick twitch, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't depend on, you know, that first step. I mean, he's just so powerful. He's just a really good football player and a great teammate, great guy. I'm so happy he's on our team.
He's the highest rated player. Reasons. He's the highest rated player. Jalen Ramsey's the second highest rated player. Gibson and Boyer both.
He is so good. Jalen Ramsey. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, you know what I said, Tony, earlier? I said he could, if he plays his cards right, he could become the Richard Sherman in terms of the persona and everybody knowing who he is of the East Coast. That's how good he can be. You know what I mean? He could be, and if he plays it right.
You know what he's going to be able to do, Pete? He's going to be able to play, as he gets older, he's going to obviously, you know, you're physically, you have to learn to play mentally and everything else, especially that position, better and better. I'm not saying he's not there yet, but you have to really be a pro. But he can play. If he does that, he's a guy who can play corner for 10 years and then go play safety for 5 years.
Like Rod Woodson did.
Yeah, like Rod Woodson. Exactly right, because he's so physical and big. And I mean, he's really a talented kid.
And then the only negative on defense I mentioned was Telvin Smith. They didn't give Fowler a positive grade. He's like right at zero. I thought he was played pretty good yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, he's really he's. You know what he is? He's not. He's still not a great pass rusher, Pete. But he's getting better at rushing the passer. He really is. He's winning when he should. And he's so much better than he was last year. It gives you a lot of hope that he's going to continue to grow at that position. But he plays so physical and so violently. He's a good football player.
I thought DeShaun Gibson had maybe his best game for as a Jaguar player yesterday.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, when they shut the Ravens out. They didn't cross the 50 till the third quarter. And basically the second unit went in is the only time they scored. I mean,
they played Sheldon Day 29 snaps. They played Smoot played 26. The backup nose tackle played 27.
Well, they played the whole fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. But those guys play in rotation, too, because there are times in the first and second quarter.
No, they do. But they had more reps because of the flow of the game. I mean, it was like a preseason game in the fourth quarter, empty the bench.
Yeah. Except, they don't fake punts in the fourth quarter and late in the third quarter in preseason games.
They faked a punt in the preseason.
That was Bush League when they did the preseason. I forgot about that.
I did not like that.
The preseason when you didn't like.
Tony, do you think Flacco's got more problems with his back than he's leading on? Because he sure as hell is playing like it.
I think he has problems with the offensive line. He's getting tattooed the entire game. And I don't think he has any weapons. I mean, Wallace is not the same guy. Macklin is not the same guy. I mean, who do you have up there? You have no tight end that scares you. your backs are okay and your offensive line's no good. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're not good on offense. But weren't you surprised bit that how bad they were on defense?
They had 10 extra possessions in the first two games of the turnovers. And it wasn't like they blew the teams out. I mean, come on.
Right. And those aren't good teams. Those are 2-0 and 3 teams.
No. I mean, come on.
Hey, guys. Are you ready to take some phone calls?
Yes.
Let's come back. We'll open the lines. 355-NFL-1. We'll get a segment of phone calls tonight. We'll continue the irritation of Tony Vaselli in London. An extra day in the U.K. for the pride of the Jaguars. Tony Vaselli's there. Pete Briscoe in South Florida. J.P. Shadrick in Jacksonville. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Great team wins. That's what we talk about all the time. Like I say, it's got to come from within this team. All right, and I think you guys understand what you can do when you play together as a team and you believe in each other and you look around this locker room and you know we have a chance to do something special. Never lose sight of the hard work. Never lose sight of how we support each other, the unity, the things we talked about before the game, you know, with our owner, with the captains, with everyone. And it just goes to the same thing. Together, all right, we can make things happen. All right, together we can make things happen. More importantly, let's talk about what we did the night before. We talked about opportunity, an opportunity to go 2-1. And again, not look back and regret anything. All right, we took advantage of that opportunity. Now let's pack up and get the hell back home.
Head coach Doug Marrone in the Wembley locker room yesterday after the win. Hear the and check out the full video on Jaguars.com. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Briscoe, Tony Vaselli. Time to get to phone calls, guys. You ready?
Yes. Bring them on.
We'll start off in Mandarin tonight. Kevin is on the line. Jalen Ramsey is the topic. Kevin, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. What's up?
Oh, I love the show, guys. I listen every week. Appreciate each and every one of you. Jalen Ramsey, I know you guys were just talking about him. I've been watching the Jaguars since 99, been a fan of the NFL since 99. Seen a lot of good corners come and go. Revis, Sherman, Patrick Peterson, you name it. I've never seen a guy like this. He is just absolutely phenomenal. His contract, he's currently, he was drafted last year, so he's in year two of his rookie deal, first-round pick, so he's got the fifth-year option on it, right?
That's right.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, he's in line for an extension as early as next season or the fourth season?
Pete, what is it? Is it after year three, I believe?
Three. Yeah. After the third year, I think he can.
You've got to imagine they're going to do that deal, barring injury, you know, with him. I mean, you know, at that point in time, they're going to probably extend him, right? I mean.
Well, it all depends on where you are, cap and everything else. But you don't have to do anything until you really don't have to do anything until probably year six or seven because you can franchise them. Now, he won't be happy.
Right.
You don't want to treat your great players. I mean, your great players you want to lock up a long term. So it might be before his fourth year or after his fourth year. He's going to get if he stays healthy and keeps on playing the way he is, he's going to be probably the highest paid corner or one of them in all football.
I can't recall exactly. Has there been a $100 million corner?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I don't believe that there has been. I think there's been a couple that have come close. I was just wondering if y'all thought there's a possibility he could. I mean, it obviously depends on the number of years.
Well, 2 years from now? Yeah, absolutely. 2 years from now, it'll be making huge
money. The cap will continue to go up. I mean, they're making money.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, if they give him a 5-6 year deal, he could easily get up to $100 million, I would think. So,
what was the biggest deal that Revis got, Pete? Do you remember? Thanks for the call tonight, Kevin, by the way. I appreciate that.
I'll look it up.
Probably 50 or 60.
I mean,
60
these deals average, the corner deals average, you know, 15, 16, 17. So if they're 5-year deals, you're not getting to 100.
Right. Exactly.
Pete, 2 years from now, it might be 20 a year.
Right, then he might be 100. Yeah, you're right. If he continues to play at the level he's playing at, he could be the top corner in the National Football League.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Tyler is in St. Petersburg, Florida, and has an exception to what a couple of analysts said pregame about the Jags, I guess. Right, Tyler? What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to get you guys' thoughts on what Brian Billick and Steve Smith said right before the game. Right before they cut, they said, what Brian Biddick said. The offense scored no points. And Steve Smith said the Jags can't win with Blake Bortles.
Well, they were wrong, apparently.
Yes, they're wrong.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're all wrong a lot. I picked the Chiefs to finish last in the AFC West, so, I mean, it happens to us. But
by the way, they're the best team. They might be the best team in the AFC, Pete.
Yeah, but the other thing is, going into that game, what gave you the idea that Jacksonville could score 44 points? There was nothing. Nothing from a week ago.
Well, I picked them. I picked them to score 41, so I was off by three.
No, you did not. Yeah, what, over the course of the next three games, maybe?
No, yeah, that was shy. I mean, I thought they'd win a tight game. And that's obviously me leaning towards the Jaguars and wanting them to win. But I honestly thought it'd be a 17-14, 2017 type of game. And I never saw that this happening.
Let's get back to the phone line. Brian is in East Arlington tonight. Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, you know, basking in the glow of the win. How about you?
Oh, I'm just same old, same old. Hey, the thing I'm worried about with this team is, I know Bortles played good this past week, but going forward, it's just hard to have any kind of confidence knowing the track record of what we've done in the past. I mean, the defense is going to keep us in games no matter what, but you always got to worry about what is Bortles going to do. I mean, it's just, and the other thing is too, is if this team gets where we win 8 to 9 games this year, the future has got to be another quarterback coming in eventually. If we had a quarterback that was Alex Smith or what, that caliber, or maybe a little better, we would be talking about well into the playoffs. Versus where we're at now, where we're barely going to make the playoffs,
well,
in my opinion. This team is a playoff caliber team.
Let me say this real quick, and I'm not going to jump on you because you're right in the sense the consistency has not been there by the offense and by Blake. And he had a real bad year last year, and he had a tough preseason. And so I think it's fair to say, listen, I kind of want to wait and see. But the way he played Sunday was outstanding. If for him to be the future, of this team and the franchise quarterback, he needs to stack one game after another like this and continue to play consistent football. And if he does that, then this team will be playing for the playoffs in December. And I think it'll come down to them and the Titans in the division.
Yep,
and if he doesn't,
I agree.
And
that,
if he doesn't,
that game late in the year will be very important.
Would you say that again?
The game late in the year will be very important when we play the Titans.
Very important.
That'll be
I think it's fair for you to say kind of want to wait and see because I mean that's where we are right now as an offense and but you got to give him the benefit of the doubt at least tonight after the game he played and the way this whole unit played, and I think the offensive line is playing really good football right now. I think they can continue to build on it, and if they do that, Pete, they'll be in December. It'll come down to, like I said, I think winning the Titans to win the division. Now, there's so much football left to be played. I mean, no one picked the Jets to win this past week. And everyone was, marking out off as a win for the Jaguars. I still think the Jaguars will win. But in the NFL, it's week to week. It's very difficult. This past weekend, with the list of games, we saw the surprises that happened in Buffalo beating Denver and so on and so forth. And injuries happen in this league, and teams can change from one Sunday to the next because of the injuries. So it's still a wait and see, especially when you have a young offense and a quarterback that's trying to get his feet back underneath him. But at least for this past Sunday, he played great football.
He was much more confident looking. That's what I noticed, Tony. It wasn't like, at times in his career when he just didn't look as confident. He looked like, from the start of that game until the end of the game, he looked like he was a confident player. Like, he saw the game plan and he went, okay, this is going to be different for me. And he kind of embraced it and played like that. That's what I saw. I didn't see it. I mean, like the throw that was shown right now on Jaguars.com, the rifle shot into the middle of the field, that was a great play. This opening throw was a perfect throw. He just looked more confident to me.
That comes with a little more time on the field, and what a day it was. Hey, let's come back. We're going to go around the National Football League when we return. It's our final segment. Plenty to get to. Tony Buscelli's in London. Pete Prisco's down in South Florida. J.P. Shadrick in Jacksonville. Check out Jack Anania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We talked before the game today, and I think like anything else, you know, we try to make sure that we're communicating with each other. So obviously we're appreciative of that. And then, you know, we got together, you know, with the captains, some of the players, Coach Coughlin, our owner, Shad Khan, you know, obviously Tony Khan, Dave Caldwell. We got together, and, you know, the one thing that we wanted to make sure that, you know, we supported each other, we went out there as a team. I think that's the most important thing. Obviously, you know, Shad's come out with a statement, and, you know, obviously we support that, and that's what we're behind. And like I said before, I'm just trying to make sure that this team sticks together. It's an unusual situation, one I've never, you know, there's no book on that tells you how to do it, but, you know, I think the way we handled it, at least from my standpoint, I can speak from a head coach, at least there was a lot of communication, it was a lot of talking. And at the end of the day, our team is going to be closer together for it.
Head coach Doug Marrone asked first question after the game about the pregame national anthem situation. And J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli. We wrap up Jaguars Monday here as we look around the National Football League. And we start off with the national anthem protests and shows of unity throughout the league yesterday. It started on an international stage with the Jaguars and the Ravens, and Tony, Pete, and I were talking about the Monday Morning Quarterback article earlier today that shadowed Shad Khan in London and how that all came together, and Doug Marrone explained a little bit of that there. What did you make of the Jaguars and the Ravens yesterday?
Well, listen, it's a tough situation, and I think Doug said it perfectly. There's no really game plan for it. I said it after the game. I was disappointed in the comments by the president. He's our president. I respect the office he sits in, but that doesn't mean you can't disagree with what he says or does at times. And I thought the comments he made were very divisive and created a problem. And I think, as a guy who's been in a locker room, as a player, and, you know, I've been asked several times, you know, what do I think about it? I would stand for the national anthem because it's important to me, to honor, our country and the people who fought for the country and died for our country and to give us the freedoms we have. But as I told my daughter, because she asked me about it, and my kids asked, you know, well, Dad, what do you think? And how should I think about this? Is it's the great thing about our country is the right to peacefully protest and to bring to the forefront some very, very important issues. And while I wouldn't kneel, I support and respect the right of my teammates and NFL players to make a statement. The one thing I want to make sure that I think is important, the issue that they're not protesting the national anthem, they're protesting during the national anthem. And people are trying to bring to attention a very important issue that is real, and it's inequality, social inequality, and especially around race, and it's real. And it's something that needs to be addressed, it should be addressed, and the conversation needs to be to start and be centered around that. And we need to work better. And I think one of the things that we've lost as a country, as a society, is civil discourse. You know, it's okay to have a conversation and disagree with each other if you do it in a respectful manner and you listen and you try to be empathetic, listening and putting yourself in the shoes of the people that that have different experiences than you do. And so I thought Chad's comment was outstanding. I thought the way the team handled it was good and right. And I hope we get to the point, and this is why I was so disappointed in the president's comments and the way he did it. I thought it was vile. And I don't think they need to be handled that way. And I think it's missing the bigger point. Let's have a conversation of how we can move the ball down the field and correct some of the societal issues that we do have, and some of the division that we do have, and some of the inequalities that we do have, and let's address those, and let's figure that out. And so it's a tough situation, and but I think the commissioner handled it very well, and it's where we are right now, and I hope the focus comes to the issues that the players are trying to bring to attention by kneeling during the national anthem. It's not a protest against the national anthem. It's a protest to bring attention to an issue that is very, very important and needs to be addressed because it's real. It's not some manufactured thing that players are saying, you know, I'm going to do this to be rebellious, or I'm going to do this to, you know, cause problems. They're doing it because they care. And by the way, players who stand too are still doing things trying to make a difference in the lives of people. And I think what the commissioner said and what all the owners said is so true. The majority of NFL players are positive influences in their communities and give back in big, big ways.
Yeah, I agree with you, what you said exactly, Tony. And one of the things that stood out to me, and you'll know this better because you actually played on the team, no matter where you come from, and what your background is, and what your religion is, or what your race is, for football players, Sunday was about togetherness. Again, it showed how together they are. It wasn't a splitting up of you know, whatever. These guys, everybody was together. Whether you've protested or not, you respected the protesters as one of your teammates. And to me, that was as telling about the game of football and the NFL is anything that happened on Sunday.
And isn't that the great thing about the country we live in? I told my dog, yes. I told my kids, and I said, you know, I'm glad I live in a country where you're able to peacefully protest. I'm glad I don't live in a country where you are, and you shouldn't be, you know, punished or ridiculed or demonized for bringing attention something that's very important. Now, we can disagree, and we can say there's a better way to do it, possibly, and that's fine. And it's fine to. And I lived in a locker room for most of my life, you know, until I retired. And Pete, you've been in a locker room, you've been, you know, around it. And of the 53 guys that I played football with, the conversations we had, we didn't agree on everything, and we viewed life differently. And because we came from different backgrounds, and we had different beliefs. Yeah, but just because someone disagreed with me, or I might disagree with them, that doesn't mean I can't love them, I can't stand by them, I can't go out in the field together and fight together and try to accomplish a common goal. And I hope, that's why I love the game of football. It's the greatest sport ever. Because it's how we should live. I mean, we should live in a community where we're never all going to agree. But if we can respect each other as human beings and try to listen, and try to find common ground and try to work together and try to solve problems, we'll be a lot better off. And that's what I was so disappointed in President Trump's comments, because it was so divisive, in my opinion. And,
see, Tony, that was one of the things back in the day when you guys played. Remember, there was always some national media would come in and say there was a divide in your locker room for religious beliefs. Remember that? And I never saw it. And you know me, I was around that locker room forever. There might have been guys that didn't agree on the same things or have the same religious beliefs, but I never saw problems or issues or anything else in that locker room. I mean,
I'll say this: I'm not going to bring up the guy's name because I don't have the permission and I don't want to violate anything. But I would have heated debates about some very sensitive issues with guys who I really respect and are still my friends today, by the way. And we'd go back and forth, and we disagreed. I mean, strongly. But at the end of it, I looked at him, and he looked at me. We were friends. Even if we couldn't find common ground, but we worked together. We were teammates. We played together, and to this day, we're still friends. And you know, that's the thing. I think one of the things that worries me. I mean, we live in a country that we make these absolutes and these, you know, negative and demonizing statements, and it doesn't help any of us. It doesn't make anything better, and it doesn't solve any of the problems. And so I hope what this does And I hope the example that the NFL has, and if you're listening, and I've gotten tweets, and people, and most of them have been supportive of my comments, but I've had people say, you know, they think I'm an idiot and how I'm, you know, anti-whatever. And that's okay. But I hope I hope the message is you see what they did in the NFL and saying, you know what, everyone might not agree on kneeling for the anthem, and like I said, I would stand because of what it means to me. But at least there's unity in saying, let's solve some problems. And I hope that's what comes out of this, and I hope the conversation around the issue that was started when Colin Kaepernick kneeled and has continued the conversation about about racial inequality in some areas. I hope we can work together and figure it and fix it. It's a big issue, and it's not an easy issue. But it needs to be addressed, and we need to figure it out.
By the way, a lot of the people that are complaining about the protest, seeing it's slighting the national anthem or disrespecting the national anthem, are the same people or some of the same people that sit in the stands during the game when the national anthem is being played and look at their phones and don't pay attention. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Trust me. I go to NFL games this is like, let's find the, pick on people. But I go to NFL games twice a week, every week, Thursday night, Sunday. And when I stand for the national anthem in the booth and listen to whoever's singing it, I look around and I see a lot of fans with hats on, not paying attention, not doing anything. And by the way, it's been like that for years. There hasn't been a massive outcry of, boy, let's go after those people. So, it's an issue. It's not an issue. It's a topic, and I want the topic though to get. I want to get to the issue of let's solve a problem, and that's what needs to happen.
All right, guys, Monday Night Football. The 1-1 Dallas Cowboys look to rebound from last week's loss. Maybe they'll hand it to Ezekiel Elliott this week in the desert against the 1-1 Arizona Cardinals. First off, will the Cowboys kneel? Second, who you got?
Well, me, I think that there's – the Cowboys are not going to kneel, by the way. They've come out and said that. They're going to stand together. They're not going to kneel. I have – the Cardinals in this game. I just think this is a bad spot for the Cowboys. Back-to-back road games. The Broncos loaded up to stop the run last week, and they couldn't throw the ball down the field. It's a proven game for Dak Prescott. Can he do it? I think Carson Palmer gets back on track. First home game, bad combination. I think it's a Cardinals victory.
Yeah, it's always hard opening home, opening weekend. It's basically opening weekend for the Cardinals as it is their first home game. I worry about the Cardinals' offense, though, Pete. They can't score for any points. David Johnson obviously is hurt. I hate to say it because I love Carson and I've known him for a long time. He's an SC guy and, knew him when he was in high school. So far the time hasn't caught him. And he hasn't played great the first few weeks. I'm rooting for him. I hope he wins. I'm rooting for the Cardinals just because of that connection. But, I think it's a close game, and if I have to pick, I'll go with my heart and go with the Cardinals.
Oh, two Cardinals picks tonight in the Monday Night Football matchup. By the way, this might have been one of the best Sundays of football, actual football, in a while, Pete.
It was great. It was great.
Games.
It was fantastic. The 1 o'clock games were fantastic. Then you had the overtime game in the Green Bay and Cincinnati at the 4 o'clock games. It was just and then the night game was pretty good too. It was just a really good Sunday, and they needed it.
Hey Pete, let me ask you a question, Pete, because I read on Twitter somewhere that the ratings were down this week, but then I saw CBS releasing that their ratings were up 4% over last year.
Yeah, CBS had 4% over last year, and the other two networks down slightly, but the ratings as a whole will be up because last week on Monday night we had the Cowboys tonight, and then you also had the first debate was last. If you can believe that, it's kind of ironic now, but the first debate was last this date last year on a Monday night.
So I guess the first sometimes those early ratings are way off, right? Because they don't have all the numbers in. They kind of jump the gun a little bit.
Yeah, and plus, they don't account for how many people go to the bar and watch the game either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tony, we'll see you soon from London. Be safe.
Travel safe, Tony.
Hey, JP, I'll talk to you Thursday night from Lambeau Field as I'm doing the Packers Bears game.
The nonstop to Green Bay from London, huh? Enjoy that.
Yep, I'll be home back. I won't be back to Jacksonville by Friday, boys.
Have fun. Pete, we'll talk to you soon. Ya. Have a good one.
You got
Frisco,
it.
Tony right, Buscelli, Max Hochman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for watching and listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.